Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we're looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34, the deliverer in a tormented world. This is a strange story, but it's not much different from the situation of many people today. And let's just look at the progression of this narrative in four stages. First, there was the recognition of truth. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" The country of Gergesenes. It's in Mark and Luke's gospel, it's called Gadarenes. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, are the parallel passages of this event. There was a small town opposite Tiberias on the other side of the sea. It may be the modern city of Cyrene or Kersi. Tombs are located there with a steep shoreline. Matthew's record says two demon-possessed men, but Mark and Luke mention one man. This has caused the spilling of much ink and many hours of debate. I believe it's as simple as Matthew focused on the one that was the more dominant. A principle of interpretation is that since the Holy Spirit wrote the entire Bible, he would never contradict himself, or God cannot lie. So when we encounter passages of Scripture that seem to contradict, there's something that we're missing or we don't fully understand. Listen, this guy was in a bad state. Consider this description. Matthew's account, verse 28, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. Now, when you're looking at an event, you bring in the parallel accounts, you get the full picture, the details from each of the perspectives. So, Matthew talks about him, two men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fair, so that nobody could go that way. Mark's account in Mark 5, verses 2 through 5, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, day and night, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, verses 27 and 29, it says, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. For the spirit had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. A sad situation, but not much different from some today on various kinds of drugs. What is amazing is what the demon-possessed man said to Jesus. What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? How can anyone be tormented? How can anyone who's tormented as these men focus on the prospect of things getting worse when Jesus showed up? A person can be so accustomed to a situation that it seems normal. We know that it is the demon speaking, the same way that we know it is the drugs or alcohol influence the addicted person today. My father was an alcoholic, and he was described as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by many members of our family. When he was sober, he was the nicest person you could ever meet. But drunk, he became so nasty, so abusive, and so violent. He thought he was okay. The demons recognized who Jesus was. They also knew that there was an appointed time of judgment for them. And they further knew that it was Jesus himself who would be their judge. So second, there was a request for mercy. Verses 30-31. Now, a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." A herd of swine. Mark adds that there were 2,000 of them. Why a large group of unclean animals among the Jews? It might be that there were Gentiles living there, or it might have been that there were some Jews who were willing to compromise to make a butt. We don't know. The number of demons was large. Mark chapter 5, verse 9. Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A legion of soldiers could be as many as 6,000 men. Verse 31 says, the demons begged him. Luke's account indicates that they pleaded with him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. The abyss is a prison where some demons are bound. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Jude 6 reads, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. These two passages refer back to the event in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, when some of the fallen angels chose to enter the physical realm and have sexual relations with women on earth. Genesis 6, 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. This was a direct cause of Noah's flood. One thing was sure. The demons in these men knew Jesus had the power and authority to send them to the abyss, or any place else, for that matter. So they tried to cut a deal with him. And then third, there was reliance on deception. Verse 32. And he said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly The whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. This has always been an interesting passage to me. The demons did not want to go into the abyss, but destroyed the pigs. You know what I believe happened? They only wanted to go into the swine to avoid being chained for judgment like their buddies. It also took care of the unclean animals. What the demons did is what people do all the time. In crisis, people try to cut deals with God, making big promises. Then, when God shows them mercy, they forget their commitment. If you get me out of this situation, I'll serve you. If you take care of this financial crisis, I'll tithe. If you save my child, I'll be faithful in fellowship. If you, I'll. Let me ask you, what promises did you make to God in a crisis and have not fulfilled? Fourth, there was resistance to grace. Look at verse 33 and 34. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from the region. Begged him to depart. That is the oddest response to seeing a demon-possessed man healed. What was the problem with these people? The financial loss of the dead swine? Or was it ungodly people afraid of Jesus' presence and power? Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. We see this in church all the time. People are attracted by what the Lord is doing there. And when they realize how far their lives are from where Jesus calls them to be, they leave. Why? Well, because if they're unwilling to submit to His Lordship, even if they claim Him as Savior, it's uncomfortable to be in the fellowship of believers. It's called conviction. Listen, church is the last place you want to be when you choose to continue in your sin. A recognition of truth and a request for mercy, but a reliance on deception and a resistance to the grace that enables changes in your life. Give that some thought and have a great day.